have your Bibles, Revelation chapter 4, when the Lamb becomes the light, is in chapter 5. But before we get there, I want to draw your attention to our society today, is in chapter 3. There are time periods in Scripture that you can follow through called dispensations. I'm not a big dispensational fan, but there are time periods in Scripture you can see. You'll notice the year that we live in, or the time that we live in, is in chapter 3. If you'll notice in verse number 14, it says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen." Verse 15, "I know thy works," and the Lord knows all of our works. The Bible says the Lord sees our thoughts afar off, Psalm 139. He sees when we sit down. He sees when we stand up. He hears when we sing, and he loves us. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 15, he says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." That's Christianity today. There are people to be claimed to be Christians, but they'll curse at the drop of a hat. They would cheat you if you turn your back. They claim to be a Christian. They mistreat their families. That doesn't mean that everybody does that. But I remember being a plumber when I was growing up with my father and his business. And I remember hearing Christians say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church." But then I'd hear their jokes and I'd hear what they talked. And I said, we must be living in that day of Laodicea. Notice verse number 16. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." The Lord says, it makes me ill when I see my children act like that. I want to draw your attention today, not to that, but that the Lord says to people that don't know the Lord. Verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me." There's an open invitation that the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, looks at everybody in this room. If you've not come to Jesus Christ and said, "Lord, I want to trust you as my Savior," I want you to understand this. He's knocking at your heart's door this morning. There's a book in heaven, and the Bible says that every name that's written in it is on their way to heaven. But whosoever is not found written in the book of life is cast into hell. So the Lord Jesus knows every name that's in it. And he's knocking at the heart's door of everybody who's not. Now, lest you think that this is a large group of people, remember this. The Lord Jesus loves every individual in this room. The Bible says that every word that I've spoken, every deed that I've done is written in another book. And somebody's got to get an account for that before I can get to heaven. And I've got nothing the Lord wants. That's the reason he knocks at our doors, because he went to the cross and paid our debt of sin. And that's called the gospel. I paid for your sin. I'll forgive you if you'll ask me. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's the verse that I prayed through, put my name in that 56 years ago, and the Lord saved me, and that changed everything for me. Gave me a reason to live, a hope. But I want you to understand one thing. The Lord has a timetable, and we're on it, and there's nothing we can do about it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, "As it is appointed unto man once to die." And on that timetable, every one of us has a time, a period when we're going to go to heaven, where we're going to die, face the Lord, one way or the other. "As it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." So we'll all give an account. Now, I want you to notice, as this time period's going along, the Lord Jesus says the world is going to get more and more anxious. It's going to get more and more corrupt. It's going to get more and more evil. There are going to be people mistreating others by a great number. I'm sorry, I got a new mic, and it goes all over the place. I'm trying to get used to it. Get another one soon that doesn't move around as much. But the Lord Jesus says, I've got a plan to come get my children. He offers salvation to everyone in chapter 3, verse 20. And in chapter 4, he says, I'm going to come get you. Notice, if you would, in verse number 1 of chapter 4, after this, after he offers everyone the opportunity of trusting Christ as Savior, and he asks us to overcome. Look in verse 21 of chapter 3. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I can't even imagine the privilege that would be to sit with the Lord of heaven. I don't even deserve to be there, let alone to sit with him. But he said, if you overcome, that means if you see the temptations of life and say, no, I want to honor the Lord, he's going to bless you. And one of the blessings is, I want you to come up and sit by me. What a privilege. Chase, can you come up here and fix this for me? It's not going to work. Joseph, I think something came loose. I apologize. Time out. We got a malfunction here. All right, thank you. Okay, now, then all of a sudden the Lord says this. After you've trusted me as Savior and you're working to overcome. And overcoming is a winner. Nike is the word Nike is a Greek word from Scripture, literally means to overcome. That's what it means. So if you wear any Nike gear and you got the swoosh, the swoosh is not in Scripture, but Nike is. It's victorious Christian. And that's what I'm living for. It has nothing to do with anybody in this room. It doesn't matter if I'm a pastor or if I'm not, if I play the piano or sit in the orchestra pit and play the orchestra, if I'm in the sound booth, or if I'm just sitting in the auditorium and this is my first time here. You have no bearing on me. I can have a bearing on you. If I'm going to please the Lord, I say, Lord, I want to overcome this life. So I watch my words. I watch my thoughts. I want to be better to people than they are to me. I want to keep my word. I want you to notice, then in this time period, all of a sudden, the Lord's got someone playing a trumpet in heaven. And he's going to turn and say, bring him home. And notice, if you would, chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And all the Christians are going to be missing from this world. And he's going to take us to heaven. And you'll notice it would. And the first voice which I heard was of a trumpet talking with me. Now, I don't know if it's the sound of a trumpet which is loud and clear, or if it's going to be a real trumpet. But he's going to use that trumpet, notice if you would, which said unto me, come up hither, and we're gone. Now, there's nothing that's in the way of that happening on the timetable of God's plan. It could happen today. We might not finish this service. But I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The moment that trumpet blows, all the Christians are gone from this world. We're going to go meet with our Savior. And he's going to reward us for the things we did in this life, if we overcame or not. It's not a judgment of criticism. Remember, the blood of Christ washed away our sin. It's a judgment of reward. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, he's going to take the book of our life with all of our deeds written in it, put it in a fiery furnace, and what comes out, we're going to receive reward for. So we might have pages of our life that we did what we wanted to do, and they're empty because they got burned up. Selfish things. Revengeful things. Bitter things. No reward for that. But he's going to give us a reward. Have you ever seen in the Olympic Games someone stand on a silver medal stand or a bronze medal stand weeping? Have you ever seen that? I have. You know why? Because they could have gotten gold, but they didn't work hard enough, and they just came up short. They're going to be Christians in heaven. We're going to get to that in a minute. Have tears in their eyes because we didn't do our best. But he's going to call us home. Now, what's going to happen now? We're going to be gone in heaven, and boy, I tell you, everything changes for that for all eternity for every Christian. Everyone that knows Christ as Savior. Everyone that when the Lord Jesus knocked on your heart's door, you accepted him and said, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. I want you to forgive me my sin. Take your payment on the cross and apply it to my debt. I don't deserve to come to heaven, but I sure would like to. Thief on the cross took advantage of it. Widow, the woman at the well took advantage of it. And so all of a sudden, we're gone. We're with the Lord. Now let's take just a minute. What heaven, we'll get to that in a minute. But look on earth. Planes are going to crash all over the world because Christians are pilots. Buses are going to wreck. Emergency rooms are going to be empty with doctors and nurses. There's going to be chaos all over the place, and I don't know what they're going to say to explain it, but in a church like this, there are going to be people sitting here, and all of a sudden, my clothes are going to drop to the ground, and I'm gone. And many Christians in this room, your clothes will sit right where they are. And there's going to be people sitting there saying, what happened? But it's too late. And all of a sudden, you're going to go outside and you're going to see cars coming over the highway. Cars don't have a driver. They're in heaven. And everybody's going to wonder, what in the world happened? Because remember, the reason people are left behind is because they were unbelievers. They didn't put their faith and trust in Christ. And so now all of a sudden they're trying to figure out what's happening, and the fire truck comes, drives into our driveway and down the hill and into the embankment. What happened? Drivers are gone. Wrecks all over everywhere in America. Christians are gone. But then I want you to notice something. Look, if you would, in chapter 4. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Now, we're going to transition from this old earth to heaven. I immediately was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one that sat on the throne. We're going to see this throne glistening. Look at it. Look a little bit about this throne. Verse 3. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper, a diamond, and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. Something like you and I've never seen. And all of a sudden, we're in absolute awe of the throne of God. Now, this throne has two purposes. It has the purpose of judgment, and it has the purpose of reward. It has the purpose of our king sitting on it and being proud of us. Folks, that's why I try to live right. It's not because you pay me. It's because I'm going to meet him one of these days. It's why you ought to live right. Because you're going to see him one of these days. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, back in George Washington's day, they believed that the blood was bad, and they had what's called bloodletting. And the wisest men on earth bloodlet President George Washington to death. You don't do that today. They were sincerely good, but sincerely wrong. And today, if you don't understand that there is a God in heaven that moves this world and that loves us and that sent his son to pay his debt of sin, then the only thing I can do is to pray for you. Because you're missing the greatest joy in life. So this throne, we're going to see the Lord in heaven. Now, you might say, well, what are we going to do in heaven? Are we going to sing and angels' wings and all that? The Bible says, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 2 Corinthians 2:9. You know what he's saying? I've got things prepared for you. Somebody tell me the thing you like most. I mean, you like an activity you like to do. How many of you like to hunt and fish? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you like to travel? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you like to eat? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you would like to be able to eat anything you want and not gain an ounce? Let me see your hand. Okay. We're all in that boat. Wouldn't that be wonderful? The other day, I was sitting in my office, and I was trying to be good and not eat much for lunch. And my sweet wife had put a baggie with 4 chocolate chip cookies in it. And you know, right out there in the front, in that coffee machine, it also makes the best hot chocolate you can get. And so I'm sitting there studying, and I'm working on it, and I'm studying, and I'm seeing those cookies, and I'm studying, and I'm seeing those cookies, and you know, it's about noontime, and I'm trying to avoid, and I just broke. And I walked over, and I grabbed that bag, and I got a couple cookies, and I went out there, and I got me some hot chocolate, and I started dipping. Oh. Oh. And when you come to my office, the bag's there. Nothing else. Cookies are gone. Well, you go home the next morning, I weigh, and I'm not going to tell you how much, but I gained weight. Can you imagine the blessing? The Bible says that God has that at the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to eat and dine together, and you and I have no idea what he's got prepared for us. If you like to hunt and fish, he's got something for you that's far beyond your wildest imagination. If you like to watch ball games, he's got something far beyond that that you can imagine. If you like to travel, he's got something far beyond that. I don't know. We may be traveling to galaxies we've never seen or heard of. The God of heaven that made this world as beautiful as it was, and we messed it up so far with all the stuff we're doing with it and to it, one of these days he's going to take us to heaven, and we're going to be able to have far more than that than we could ever have imagined. And it's a blessing for the Christians that trusted him. And you know what? There's not one of us that can say, well, I got there because I did good. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. No one gets there by one thing you did. It's all by the grace of Christ and his simple forgiveness. You know, I noticed that this throne is this throne of great reward and great joy. But the Bible says in Revelation 20, in verse number 10 and verse number 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The rich and the poor. I saw the politically famous and the politically not so famous. And the people that are very academic and the people that can't read or write. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And every man is judged according to his works. That, the Bible says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, you know, there's a book in heaven that you got to have your name in. Years ago, I was probably 20 years ago, I was preaching from this passage, and I mentioned the book of life. And a gentleman at the end of the service went to the back. He thought it was in the lobby, and he looked for it. And he came up to me and said, Pastor, where's that book? I want to get my name in it. And I had to sit down and share with him that the book's in heaven. The Lord writes in it. We don't. But everybody can go to him, and he'll write your name in it. Today, if you've never trusted Christ, today can be the greatest day of your life. Or you can stand before the judgment seat of God. The great white throne. Same throne, different purpose. But then I notice not only I see hear the trumpet sound and I see the throne in heaven, but I'm also reminded of this, that all the troubles are gone. If you have your Bible, turn to Revelation 21. I want you to see this. Revelation 21. I want you to see exactly what I'm telling you so that you'll know it's not me, it's the Lord that said it. Look at Revelation 21. Verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. One thing happens 1 second past that trumpet sound is that it's all gone. There's no more curse. Now, you know what the curse is? The curse happened to Adam and Eve, and whenever they chose to disobey the Lord, that disobedience was passed down to all of us. Like when we pass down blue eyes, we pass down height, we pass down intelligence. Well, the curse got passed down. And everybody in this room, when you see a choice between doing right and doing wrong, our nature is to say, I want to do what I want to do. And it's ruining us all. Until Jesus steps in, we have the courage and the strength to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to overcome my flesh and do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Well, I'm reminded that there are all kinds of things happen from our flesh that are bad. There are murders. There are mistreatments. There's things we do to each other. And the Lord said, look, when you step foot inside heaven, I'm going to wipe it all away. Notice, he said, I'm going to wipe tears from their eyes. Now, they're going to be tears for multiple reasons. They're going to be tears because I can see that I could have done better, and I didn't. I'm sorry, Lord. He'll wipe the tear from my eyes. You'll notice this, and there should be no more death. There's no more death in heaven. There'll be no more graves in heaven. No more morticians. Death is gone. Life reigns. Today, you and I we're a heartbeat from heaven. The Bible says everybody in this room, as it is appointed unto man, wants to die, but the Bible says no man knows that appointment. He specifically says, look, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. What is your life? It is life of vapor that appeareth for a little time and then poof, vanisheth away. In the book of James, chapter 5. He's trying to tell you and I, be ready. Be ready. I'm coming to get you. And so I want to make sure when the Lord Jesus sees me, he doesn't see me on the way out with my head bowed and say, I was doing wrong when you called me home. How many of you remember being a child and your mom or dad walked into the room and you got caught? Anybody remember? I mean, you were doing something you shouldn't have done. I'm not saying you were graffitiing your room, but I mean, maybe they told you to make your bed and you were watching TV, or they told you to do something. And so they came in and you got caught and you went, oh, I'm going to date myself. And I don't want anybody to laugh. I remember watching Mighty Mouse. And I was in front of a black and white TV. And I was so excited to see Mighty Mouse going back and forth winning the day. Anybody here remember that? Raise your hand. Okay, good. All right. And so I remember my mom saying, I want you to go clean your room. And Mighty Mouse was just about ready to win the day. I said, okay, Mom, okay. And I'm watching back and forth. And it took him a little longer than I anticipated to win the day. And so I'm sitting there watching, and all of a sudden, it's just about to win, and my mom comes in and says, David Lee, that was never a good thing. David Lee, I'm going, Mom! And I start going to my bathroom. Too late. I got it. I got in trouble. But when I saw her, my eyes went down. When I see Jesus, I don't want my eyes to go down. And you have to come here, Dave. Wipe tears from my eyes. So I'm going to love my wife with all my heart because he told me to. I'm going to forgive her when she goes to Walmart anyway. I'm going to forgive her for everything she does. And my prayer is that she'll forgive me for everything that I do. That's what makes it sweet. Do you understand today that everybody in this room is going to stand at that judgment before that throne, here or here? Without hope, with all the hope in the world. More hope than you and I have ever had. It's a choice. And it happens in Revelation 3:20. Jesus said, I'm knocking. I'd like to come in. I'd like to forgive you of your sins. Would you let me? I want you to see, not only the troubles are all gone, but I want you to see the treasures of heaven. Notice if you have your Bible, look over in chapter 21. I want you to just see this very quickly. In verse number 21, how many ever heard of the pearly gates? I mean, ever heard of pearly gates? Ever heard of them? Pearly gates? Well, here they are. It's a true statement. Notice if you would, Revelation 21, verse 21. 21:21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, representing the suffering of Jesus Christ. Every several gate was of one pearl. We've never seen a pearl like this, but this is a custom-made place by the God of heaven. You'll notice he says, and the street of the city was pure gold as it were transparent glass. Now, the Bible says in another passage that the world is, it gives you the furlongs or how long it is. And if you would take that city and multiply it out, it is from New York to Chicago, from Chicago to Texas, and from New York to Florida. It is 1,320 cubic miles and 1,320 miles up. It is a place so magnificent and so large that you and I can't even imagine it. We think New York is big, and it is, but it's a blip on the map of the place called heaven. And the Lord has that prepared for everybody in this room. The Bible says, I go, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. But he also said in the same section, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father but by me. That's why he died, was to pay your debt of sin. Don't miss the treasures of heaven. Now, we're going to see the pearly gates. We'll see streets of gold. Notice, if you would, I like this part. Verse number 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine for it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Just what was saying this morning. The Lamb is the light. Jesus is the light. I don't know about you, but I look so forward. For me, I'm, as all of you know in our church, I'm closer to heaven than I am birth. Okay? Whereas my age is, I can see the lights. But I'm not ready to go yet. There's a lot more people I'd like to share the gospel with. But I want you to know this. There's nothing in this life that means anything to me more than him. I just want him to be pleased with me when I see him. I want to overcome this world and my own flesh. I want to please him. I'm already on my way to heaven. These things have I written unto you that believe on the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I've trusted Christ, know it, I'm on my way to heaven. Don't deserve it, but it happened 56 years ago, and it's settled for all eternity. I see the lights. Do you understand? I can't hear the trumpets yet, but he's going to play it. And when he does, he's going to call us home. Jesus is always interested in sinners. The Bible says all of us are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one can point their finger at anybody else, because whosoever keepeth the whole law and offend in one point is guilty of all. So the Lord just says, look, all of us are sinners, but I love you and I want to pay your debt of sin. Now I want to remind you of this, and I'll close. Remember in John chapter 4, Jesus is tired. He's walking through Samaria. Now, Samaria is a place that the Jewish people never went. The Jewish people were prejudiced against the Samaritans against the Jewish people. And so what happened is that they didn't like each other, and Jesus had no prejudice, so he walked in through Samaria and walked up to a well. It's about noontime. And no one goes to the well at noontime. It's hot. But the wicked would. And a woman came to that well. And Jesus said, could I have a drink? And she said, let me draw some water. And he says, I have water that can take away your thirst forever. She looked at him. And she said, give me this water. She didn't understand what he was talking about. But he was looking at her soul and said, I love you. I'd like to save you. And she began to talk, well, you know, people, our families worship on this hill and blah, blah, blah. And Jesus said, look, you've had five husbands. And the man you're living with now is not yours. But I still love you. And she turned to him and said, how do you know that? And she realized he was the Messiah. And she drops her water pot. She runs into town and she says, come see the man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Messiah? Now here's the woman nobody wanted to walk with. Nobody wanted to talk with. And you know what? The city, the men in the city and all that, they left and went out to see Jesus. That's what happens when you put your trust in Christ. Everything changes. People hear your voice and they say, there's something different about them. That is what I'd like the people from Temple Baptist Church to be. Different. For his sake. And the reason why? For his sake. And your purpose for giving? For his sake. Your purpose for forgiving? His sake. Your purpose for loving the unlovable? His sake. Your purpose for getting up in the morning, his sake. Because one of these days, I'm going to see him for my reward or for no hope. Today, which would it be? I've sat down and talked with many a person. There are people in this room. I talked with someone yesterday. They said it was like 20 years ago when we sat down and you told me about Christ, and I trusted Christ. Folks, today, the greatest privilege I have in life is to tell people that the scars on Jesus' forehead and in his palms were ones that you and I put there, but he's forgiven me and he'll forgive you. Today, are you ready for the trumpet? Because it's going to sound soon. And I don't want one of you to miss heaven. It's too wonderful. And the King of Heaven is too wonderful to miss. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. Maybe you're here. And you'd say, Pastor, I haven't done a lot of bad things. But I'm a sinner. I'd like for the Lord to forgive me. If you'd step out of your seat and come down here to the front. That's what I did 56 years ago. It changed everything. I'd love to share with you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand and sing and ask Brother Brandon to lead us. We'll not play long, but I'm going to give you a personal invitation. I'll stand down here at the front. And I want to invite you to come to Christ. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've had a pretty bad week. I didn't overcome this week. Come tell the Lord about it. He'd love to forgive you. You're his. He doesn't hold a grudge. He'll forgive you in a heartbeat. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Oh, he loves you. We're going to have a word of prayer, stand to sing, and you come if you need to. This is for you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for the promise that you're going to come get us one of these days. Lord, if everybody in this room would trust you as Savior that needs it, I'd be ready for you to blow the trumpet today. But Lord, I know the reason why you haven't blown it yet is because there's people you want to see saved. Lord, maybe let the last one be here. Will you call us home? Now speak to hearts. Lord, maybe there's people here today that they just need to come and say, Lord, I'm sorry I yelled at my wife, my parents, my boss. I didn't forgive. I've got some bitterness. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, whatever the need is, help them to leave as an overcoming Christian, everything clean in the heart. In your name we pray. Amen.